Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
McCarthy in the first three quarters, 56 yards. He's thrown for 87 yards in the fourth quarter and two touchdowns. Has a third and one right here. He's at the 14 of the Bears. Thielen in motion. Shotgun snap to the quarterback. He fakes it. He'll run it himself. Over the right tackle, the 10. Got a block at the 5. Sideline, pylon, touchdown. J.J. McCarthy. With a touchdown run of 14 yards. This quarterback in his NFL debut is doing it all.
Really good play call. Again, everybody's selling out for the run because you've been running the football extremely well. Haven't really seen any kind of zone read with J.J. McCarthy. Everybody sucks down to stop the inside run. Good read, good pull by McCarthy. And good job using that athleticism. Good block on the outside by Hockenson to spring him into the end zone.
Highlights courtesy of Westwood One. I appreciate Tanny using actual Prince music instead of the fake Prince music that was used on the broadcast last night.
And then going back to Tears for Fears, my favorite of the possible Tears for Fears songs. Yeah, the fake music on the broadcast last night, that was weird. I noticed when they played Bad Company from the album Bad Company, but it wasn't by the band Bad Company. What the hell are we doing here?
I would have figured that ABC would have had like all of the rights that they needed to play real music.
It's ESPN. Are they being cheap just doing it that way?
I don't know. It was just jarring, though.
It was like karaoke like, Prince, man.
Yeah, it was Muzak Prince that they were playing.
I'm down for karaoke. I'm down for doing, you know, cover versions. You know, I'm down for all of that.
But maybe versions that act as a tribute.
Sure, sure. There's a spot for all of that. But I think national TV, when you're ESPN, might be a call.
Yeah, it struck me as being a strange, strange thing. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you talking about the Bears. We're going to talk with Jason Leisure coming up in the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on what happened last night, the 5-minute press conference that he got with Ben Johnson last night, and where things go from here. Now, look, Speaks, we spent a lot of time talking about Caleb Williams because that's the thing that people want to talk about. They feel that they know that they can discuss it. His future, where things stand.
It's also triggering because of our lives as Bears fans and quarterback haters.
100%. But there was other stuff that happened in this game that I did not like. I feel like this was a three-phase loss. And in the fourth quarter, a three-phase disaster. And we brought it up a little bit during transition at the top of the show. Those hidden yards, the idea of you're giving them extra first downs that they're earning by what they're doing. Their punt return game yesterday was really strong. That kid Price averaged 17 yards a return on punts. Man. And what special teams coordinators have told me is the goal for your returner, get me one first down, get me 10 yards, and our offense will kind of do the work. That's Price's average was almost double what the Bears did in punt return. I thought that Duvernay had actually a pretty good game as a returner.
Yeah, he
yesterday
did.
Especially
in kickoffs, I thought. I was like, oh, man, I'm glad that guy's here. He knows what he's doing.
But they also had a punt blocked. They also, like the special teams unit as a whole, didn't do great yesterday.
Yeah, they missed a 50-yarder into a swirling wind.
And what was the other problem with kicks yesterday?
Cairo didn't kick it out of the back of the end zone.
Or?
And it cost them 50 seconds or 40 seconds.
Or out of bounds.
Or out of bounds.
Which would have cost them 5 yards.
Right, but
or
they could have made that choice. Or into the landing area, the landing zone, and could have done that. It could have done either way. Cairo must have told HT, who told Ben, that
I can kick it out of the back of the end zone.
Then do so, because that's what Ben said after the game. That was the plan for him, to kick it out of the back of the end zone. He just didn't do it. So that was a brutal moment. So yeah, there's on defense, some guys looked like they had. I thought Noah Sewell represented very well.
I thought he had a really good game until he didn't, and it sucks because he ended up like one on one with a Bears killer in Aaron Jones. But I thought I was so happy for him because he's one of those guys where you're like, man, that might be a sneaky good, was he a fourth round pick?
Yeah.
Sneaky good pick of a guy that can walk in and play the role of Tremaine Edmonds, because Tremaine Edmonds was kind of playing the role of TJ Edwards in the game. I thought that he was really good, and then they were like, let's isolate him and pass.
I thought Dio Odengbo represented really well for a while. He got to J.J. McCarthy, kind of whiffed on the pass rush when he got there, but J.J. escaped and fell down, and Dio got credit for the sack. A couple of times, Dio set the edge really nicely.
And then at the worst possible moment, he got suckered inside on a read option,
yes.
And J.J. McCarthy went out the back door and scored a touchdown. Which I'm sure, did you see the locker room stuff with them after the game? Man, you talk about a team that is all about their quarterback. Like the way that he reacted to it, and I give him props for this. A lot of guys feel like they have to be robotic when they're the quarterback of a team, that they can't show emotion. He let out every scream and yell that you could. By the way, O'Connell gave game balls to everyone on the team last night. So everyone gets a game ball for how they were able to come back inside of this game. But seeing McCarthy be okay with kind of being a wild man in there, even as their quarterback, was invigorating, to tell you the truth.
That bit of sound that you sent into the show thread, which was Aaron Jones talking about J.J. McCarthy and what he had to say in the huddle, was really, really good.
You want
to
hear it?
I do. The story is after the pick six, right?
Yeah, and this is what J.J. McCarthy was saying. This was on Emmanuel Acho's podcast with Aaron Jones as the guest from the locker room.
Late third, early fourth, we were still down. And JJ runs in the huddle, and he, after a TV timeout, he looks at us and he's like, is there any place else you guys would rather be?
Ooh, I'm like, that's what he said.
That's what he said.
I got goosebumps.
And we was down. We haven't really caught our momentum yet. And I'm like, wow. Like this, and I've been telling people he's different up here, but that to me, that showed gratitude and presence. Like, be present where your feet are. You damn right there's no other place I'd rather be. I didn't dream to being on this field. So yeah. Mentally, like he's different up there mentally. Like he's I would say he's very mature for his age mentally. Like just how he goes about his business, the way he sees things, the things he was like last year when he was out, he was scouting all the defenses and scouting the DBs and putting the stars on them and ranking them like on his own.
It's Aaron Jones, who is a freaking gamer. Aaron Jones impressed by the young man, J.J. McCarthy.
Bears killer, Aaron Jones. Doesn't matter if he's wearing a Green Bay uniform. Doesn't matter if he's wearing a Vikings uniform.
You know what that reminds
Bears
me?
Bears killer.
So J.J.'s going out. Look around. Any place you'd rather be as they're down in the fourth quarter.
It's very cinematic.
It is cinematic. It reminds me of Joe Montana. The story comes from Harris Barton
on the catch
on the offensive lineman talking about not the catch, talking about the John Taylor touchdown that Montana threw in the Super Bowl. That on that drive, the entire 49ers team was feeling nervous, and Joe Montana's in the huddle.
89 Super Bowl,
49ers Bengals. Niners down by 3:20 left in the game. 93-yard winning drive. Taylor beats the weak safety for a 10-yard TD.
Joe Montana's in the huddle, right? And unbelievably, somehow spots the actor John Candy in the stands and points at him and asks the guys in the huddle, hey, isn't that John Candy? Couldn't believe the balls on him to be that calm in that game at that moment. His guys instantly relax. They march
93 yards.
Montana throws a little slant to Taylor. 49ers win the Super Bowl. No one can stop a ticking clock, but the great ones, always find a way to slow it down.
Damn, I forgot that was in Draft Day.
Sorry, we brought in Kevin Costner to tell the story. We thought he was a better fit than you. Nothing personal.
Just a little.
Whatever.
Just by a little, though.
Yeah.
Speaks.
Only one of us has had a catch with Joe Buck in at the Field of Dreams.
I feel like
and
Kevin.
It was Costner.
I feel like he's had a catch with a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
It is Draft Day.
It is not, though.
No, we'll get back to that, though. Can I ask a question real quick? And it's just us talking, right? Like, it's just the four of us,
Alex.
And you in your car, and you in your office. We're just a bunch of Chicagoans who are talking about stuff, right?
Yeah,
that's
so,
all we're doing?
Uh-huh.
Can I ask you a question,
yep.
Speaks?
Yep.
I saw when Caleb came in, we were doing the show with Olin and Patrick, and I had made the joke. Like, look at that. Caleb is wearing a Brian Urlacher jersey on his way into Soldier Field. And then I saw all the pictures of J.J. McCarthy wearing an Urlacher jersey when he was at the Adrian Peterson game. I was at that game too. Adrian Peterson did everything in that game, including return kickoffs. And I was wondering,
this is JJ as a little kid at that game you're talking about. JJ McCarthy at his first NFL game, he was 4 years old wearing an Urlacher jersey back in the day.
And that picture kind of went around social media for the week.
He's wearing a claw.
And he's doing the bear. He's doing the Caleb claw before Caleb even knew that he was doing the claw.
Lawrence, was that the game where Peanut ripped the ball out of Moss's hands, or was that earlier than that? Was that that game?
This was, I don't think, not, you might be, No, but this was the game where I think AP, what did he go for, 245 or something like that in the game?
Something like that.
He was
challenging Peyton's record on the Soldier Field.
And I think that he set them up with a kickoff return for them to win the game. It was an amazing, I've never seen anything like it in person, in watching a running back dominate a game like that.
All right, so your question is, does Caleb, I'm looking, November 14th, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
He even returned the final kickoff of the game 53 yards to set up the game-winning field goal.
He did everything.
224 rushing yards. He had touchdowns of 67, 73, and 35.
There was one of those was he was running in the middle of the field. There was a cut back towards the sideline, and he was just gone. He just disappeared.
Wow.
Any
hoodles.
My question is, do you think Caleb, who is a guy that's lived in the space of being in the spotlight and being online, do you think he saw that and was like, I can get an Urlacher jersey too, you know? I can put an Urlacher jersey on.
God. Probably. That's a fair. I didn't. Yeah, because that JJ jersey has gone viral.
If you're him and maybe you're feeling a certain way and you're like, I'm the quarterback of the Bears.
Yeah. Why is he getting all the love?
He's not the quarterback of I'm the quarterback of the Bears. He should have worn a Cutler.
I don't know, man. The Cutler jersey has the prison pinstripes on it now, right?
Well, if they wear those 32 throwbacks, it kind of looks like it a little bit. But Virginia said no throwbacks this year. So no throwbacks this year. But
it's got room for a pack of smokes, the Cutler jersey.
It does. He'll need them. Put it on his commissary. Put the smokes on his commissary. He's out.
I know a man who can get things.
It's totally fine.
Sometimes hope is the only thing we have.
Like, I appreciate the effort by Caleb to be like
a poster of Kristen Cavallari
and a rock hammer.
He's definitely throwing rocks at that these days.
He keeps using the rock hammer on the front of the poster. Now he keeps destroying the poster. That's not going to work. It's not going to cover the hole you're digging. He dug himself his own hole, didn't he? I'm sorry, Lawrence.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alex. I'm sorry, buddy.
It's okay, Speaks. But Lawrence, to answer your question, I think there's no question he thought about that. That played a factor in Caleb wearing that jersey.
In the choice, because he is very thoughtful about what he wears. Like, he's very stylish.
And I just feel like he's been trying to appeal to this city ever since he got here.
And I think he's done a pretty good job of it, honestly.
Yes.
Other than the playing of the football.
He's a guy that wants everybody to like him, and I feel like wearing that jersey was very calculated.
Okay. All right, so I'm not wrong for thinking that it might be calculated. Because at first I was like, man, that's dope. Look at him. And then I was like, oh, yeah, JJ did that with the picture, and everyone's been talking about it this week.
You mean to a guy who thinks a lot about his fashion choices and is like pretty proud of the choices that he makes, and once he was in GQ magazine and knows that the Bears film every player as they're walking into the stadium? You mean you think that was strategic?
That's what I
calculated, some might say.
That's what I kept thinking about on my way home in the Batcave last night.
Oh, you took the Batcave.
I had
that,
to
that was
speak.
The masterstroke. Sure, you got a ball game in between you and home.
It was great.
Were you in the Batmobile? The Blackmobile?
No, I had the other car, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, look at that. This is wide open. I'm gonna try this out. Made it all the way to Bronzeville and about 4 minutes.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's great. It's great. I felt bad, but then I didn't feel bad at all.
So, what did KOC say about the touchdown? Because you had me wondering about this.
Because
I did not hear it, and that was a big moment in the game when JJ got him to bite on the zone read. Grady Jarrett said after the game that the Bears have to look at the fundamentals and make sure that they are a little more careful next time in the zone read. And in looking at the play, it's Dio Odengbo who falls for a really good move by TJ Hockenson, but Dio comes in and leaves the edge unsafe.
He crashes down and he does not keep contained. Here's what KOC said about that play and what it meant for that team.
They made some adjustments, you know, kind of some unscouted looks in the first half across the board. I thought they did a great job. Keeping us off balance with some looks that, you know, maybe you're working off of a tendency from, you know, a previous team that you played against the coordinator from. And I don't know whether it was, you know, maybe a couple of their guys being out, but they were doing some things differently than maybe what was on the sheet. And with a young quarterback and you're trying to work through what that looks like, you've got to work through it together. And, you know, we had some miscommunication. Obviously, it got very loud at times, the negatives, you know, up against the play clock a little bit. But I thought as the game went on, you could kind of feel JJ pushing that group to get out of the huddle a little quicker, get to the line of scrimmage, get aligned. We're trying to help him out as much as we can, especially in a game where there could be some looks that you're trying to work through that maybe weren't jumping out at you on tape. So we're trying to, you know, make it as user-friendly as we can, but sometimes that takes some time. So we've got to find a way, you know, find that middle ground, continue to push the urgency and the execution. But once again, that play call in particular was really just a matter of, JJ's a very, very good athlete. And, you know, the look presented itself where, you know, we felt pretty good about TJ being able to kind of lead him in from there if, it was a pull type read. He was reading the play. And he made a great play. Both of his, you know, touchdown passes were critical, huge plays as well, and a great execution by him.
So there's a lot in there. Like, the leadership part is interesting to me because we kind of think of it almost binarily where it's the coach is the leader and Caleb needs to follow what Ben does. Right. And then to an extent, the quarterback has to at some times take some leadership. And the idea that J.J. McCarthy is then saying to the bench, hey, let's get these plays in faster. Let's get this in faster. I want to get out of the huddle faster. And then that turns into positivity. I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to be good overall. I have a lot of questions about him as a player. I do think that he's with there are three coaches that I would want to be with if I were a young quarterback. And two of them were coaching in that game last night. So he's in a great spot with a guy who gets the most out of every quarterback that he has.
McVay the other and not LaFleur?
McVay.
Not Shanahan?
McVay. They might need a quarterback. Might want to get on the phone.
Tell him you're eligible?
No.
Tell him you're ready to go?
And tell him Tyson's eligible.
I don't know if the Bears are going to give up Tyson.
No, they're not going to. But pick up a phone. You could do that. Why don't we ask Jason Leisure about all of this stuff?
We can also ask Jason Leisure about what Ben Johnson has had to say today. Maybe you caught wind of Ben postgame last night or Caleb postgame last night.
You had to be real quick if you caught Ben last night.
Well, apparently Ben pointed the thumb a little more specifically today.
Good.
After watching some film and talking to the media. And Jason Leisure will tell us about it next here on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day and I will see that person face to face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well supported, and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
And what happens offensively after the hot start?
Just inconsistent. You know, we felt like we were gonna get some completions to get us going there, get the ball in our playmakers' hands, and it was those were a little bit harder to come by. I thought Caleb did a good job working the pocket there early in the game, and then the running game just didn't feel the rhythm as I was calling it. There was some good and some not quite so good. It didn't seem like we were all on the same page at the whole time. So. Like I said, that's a reflection of me as much as anything else, because what we said, as long as we were communicating the mic point and we're on the same page, we'd be just fine this game.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
This segment with Jason Leisure is brought to you by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. And before we bring Jason on to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, let me just paraphrase Will Smith. Hey, keep our coach's name out your mother mouth.
Hey, man, Zach Gelb needs a target or else those sports minutes, they're not going to write themselves, Lawrence. Zach Gelb's got to sit down and do it.
I mean, it seems like whether it's him or Andrew Bogus, they got a lot of stuff to say. And then, guess what?
And you got
you
a lot.
Both just made the list.
Jason Leisure's never been on the list, to my knowledge. Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times, who joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Jason, have you ever been on Lawrence's grudge list?
Probably.
No.
Probably at one point for like a day. There had to have been something. I mean, it's hard to be close friends with somebody and not make them mad at some point, but yeah. Hopefully never for any extended time.
No.
Well, we'll find out.
You're not on the list.
Yeah.
Speaks on okay. The list, though, for asking that question. You just make the list.
Speaks gets himself on the list and then erased from the list probably like five times a day, I would imagine.
I live on the list, you know? You're right, though. I think it comes and goes. Ben Johnson spoke today. What you just heard on the way in was Ben Johnson from last night. What did Ben Johnson have to say today, and what was his vibe like? Because I thought last night, Jason, he couldn't hide his disappointment. I mean, he was extremely disappointed in the quality of the play and getting a loss like that.
Yeah, and let's get to that in a minute. But he did just speak just a moment ago, as you said, Matt, and no injuries of significance as of now from the Bears, including DJ Moore, who was in question after that vicious hit that he took at the end of the game. One thing that Ben Johnson did was there was no hesitation at all about taking responsibility for his part in this. And he said right, without any kind of qualifiers, that he did not call a good enough game in terms of adapting to what Minnesota was showing. He said that he should have been kicking the ball out of bounds with Cairo Santos at the end in order to save time and make sure that there was no return leading into the two-minute warning. And he said he went against the in-house advice on challenging the TJ Hockenson, Noah Sewell play, and that having that timeout at the end would have made a big difference. That timeout wouldn't, Minnesota would have forced them to burn it, but there would have definitely been more time on the clock when the Bears got the ball at the very end.
That's fascinating.
I appreciate that.
Me too. The in-house advice person upstairs, I believe, is a holdover coach.
Harry.
It's Harry, who is kept from last staff. So he's saying that the advice, I wonder why he thought that he should, because situationally, if anything, you lean towards no, I would think at that point.
And maybe he thought he had a better view of it, because sometimes that can be the case. Like, you're at ground level and the play is right in front of you and you think you have a better view of it. And then the people upstairs are like, we're not going to win it. Like, it's one thing. Like, it's the difference between, like, did this happen and can it be proved?
I guess to me, because you know you've got a young quarterback and an offense that might need some timeouts. You burned some in the first half, and that's fine. Maybe you're going to need him to use him situationally, but maybe you just need him to get your offenses, you know, offense on the same page. So I would lean towards no. Interesting that he went against advice. Did he expound at all?
Yeah, he made it sound like he just kind of got a little bit caught up in the potential of how big that play could have been. And he's right. I mean, if you are going to burn a challenge and you're uncertain of the result, that would be a time to do it. I mean, that's a turnover at the Minnesota 25-yard line, I believe, if that holds. Or who knows where they actually spot it because of the recovery by Sewell. But, I mean, that would have been an enormous swing in the game at a time when you're up 17-6. I'm sure he was thinking that could have been their chance to put Minnesota away. Obviously, you know, that wouldn't have proven to be true. But it was a big enough play, enough swinging on it, that if you really believed it was that close, and it was very, very close, that's a time to gamble if you're going to gamble with those.
What did you make of how Caleb played yesterday?
It was unsettling. Really just fell flat. I mean, that the script, the beginning, that looked good, and that's a change from last year. I mean, that's one of the improvements Ben Johnson has brought, that it shouldn't really need to have been improved. That should have been happening all along, but we're a year removed from players begging Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus to have a script to start games. But I believe, I have to double check these numbers, but it was something like this, where he starts 10 for 10 and then it's 8 for his next 20. And the throwing accuracy, he has never had an answer for that. All of last year and this year, he has not been able to put his finger on what is causing that. All he ever says about it is, well, I've been an accurate passer my whole career until now. It's confusing to me too. That just has to change. And that speaks to kind of a bigger thing with Caleb, where, you know, rewind to his debut, 2024, when he's something like 9 for 19 against the Titans, and it's a terrible offensive game, and they end up winning anyway because the Titans are just somehow worse than them. There's so many things last year where you give Caleb a pass and you say, hey, he's a rookie. There's so much he doesn't know. They're incompetent coaches. It's an offensive line that needs to be almost totally replaced. The season is imploding under some things that have nothing to do with him, like Tyreek Stevenson. We're not talking about those in year two, because it's year two and because he has everything he could need right now offensively. He's got the offensive line that he and everybody else wanted. He has the coach that he and everybody else wanted. Nobody would question whether they've got good skill players. It has to start happening now. And I think it will take some time, probably halfway through the season is what I've been estimating based on what I've seen in some other places, like Jordan Love's first season as a starter, for example. It'll take like halfway through the season, I would expect, for things to really click between him and Ben Johnson. But in the meantime, it has to look better than it did last night. I mean, those final numbers end up looking pretty good because he, or not pretty good, but just not horrible, because he gets that late touchdown when they're down 10. But the way he played when the game unraveled on them, when they went from up 11 to down 10, is just, that can't happen anymore. And there aren't going to be a bunch of explanations and qualifiers and margin for that kind of play anymore.
Yeah, it's really good stuff, Jason. And it's kind of, it's the overall feeling that I was left with last night, and unsettling is a good word for it. He's 42% in the second half of that game last night, and that's 28th out of 32 quarterbacks in week number one. He ends up at 60%, which is worse than last year, but there was, like, those accurate throws down the field in rhythm have to be the rule and not the exception. And so that's why I couldn't help but think that what Ben Johnson was thinking last night is that phases, he looked troubled during the game at times and troubled after the game, is a guy who realized just how far his quarterback has to go. His quarterback has a long, long way to go.
And the offense does. And I think that you heard that in his 4.5 minute post-game press conference yesterday, where, I mean, think about Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson, if you trace it back a few years, Ben Johnson has been the in-demand candidate in the entire league and has been turning down jobs, some of them good, waiting and waiting and waiting, saying along the way, I see enough of these coaches take bad jobs in bad situations and get fired in 3 years, and I'm not about to do that with my career, paraphrasing. And then he says, this is the job. This is the one. This is the team. This is the division. This is the roster where it's not going to be a total rebuild like they started with in 2022. And more than any of that, he says in his introductory press conference, the quarterback is a big factor here, the chance to work with Caleb Williams. I suspect that Ben Johnson underestimated what that was going to require, how much work there was going to be to do compared to when he started in Detroit with Jared Goff. And he elevated Jared Goff to his best self, to his best seasons. But keep in mind that before he ever even met Jared Goff, Jared Goff had made 2 Pro Bowls, he had gone to a Super Bowl, and Jared Goff had played under Sean McVay. So it was a lot different. Jared Goff's 26, I think, when they started working together. That's a lot different than what you're starting with Caleb Williams. And I think all of this buildup for Ben Johnson to then get to the opener and have it go like that and have it be his reputation now on the line instead as the head coach instead of just as an offensive coordinator, I think that hit him hard last night. Now, today, a little more measured, a little time. You know, we're all like that in life when things don't go our way. It's really hard in the moment. And then as you get a little more time to digest it and process it and look ahead, you mellow out a little bit. But I think you could see it in his face and hear it in his voice last night.
Totally agree with that.
How did things go so badly for the defense in the end of the third and all of the fourth quarter?
Well, there's a really good coach on the other side, too. Kevin, so, like, we're talking about Ben Johnson trying to make it work with Caleb Williams, who is the number one overall pick a year ago. On the other side, Kevin O'Connell just makes it work with everybody. I mean, even the year when they cycled through 4 different quarterbacks, including Josh Dobbs, they were third place. They were still better than the Bears that year. They were still 7-10. I mean, they were not a joke. They were not just anybody's pushover. And Kevin O'Connell has this great track record of getting his quarterbacks on track, finding what they can do, tailoring things to help them. And J.J. McCarthy, that's a really tough situation to go into in your NFL debut, even if you've had a season to watch everything from the side, to go on the road in primetime against a good defense and down, what, Addison and your left tackle. I mean, that is a tough assignment. And Kevin O'Connell really did a good job staying with McCarthy, adjusting, and finding ways to get him comfortable. And J.J. McCarthy capitalized on that.
He very much did. And then they were able to kind of take advantage of the Bears' defense. And you know what really bothers me, Jason, is that you had these moments where, wow, look at Dayo Odengbo. Like, look at him being a force inside this game. And then he kind of gave it right back with bad play and a couple of penalties where he had played 3 quarters of really strong football, and then it's just gone. Noah Sewell, I thought, played incredibly well yesterday. And then one play ends up kind of defining your night.
Nashawn Wright had a killer pass interference penalty in addition to his pick six. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of inconsistency. And when you are inconsistent like that, that's usually you're just not going to win a lot of games where you play inconsistently, especially when you look at a team like Minnesota that had a quarterback change. But other than that, this is the team that went 14-3 last year. So if their quarterback can play decently, they're going to be a really good team. They have an established coach. They are going to figure it out. And if you spend that much time playing inconsistently, most of the good teams, most of the okay to good teams are going to take you down.
Yeah, it stings because this one had to be a win. You know, you're up 17-6 with 10 minutes left and you're in their territory. And this kind of loss can be the difference by the end of the year. And it should have been, Jason, the kind of ugly and safe, cautious win where the young quarterback learns some valuable lessons, you know, like and the fact that they couldn't close this out at home is kind of a really bad sign, frankly.
It's a bad start. You know, it's one game. It's so hard for me to jump to bad sign. But part of the problem is that when does it get easier? I mean, it's hard. It's a tougher game this week against Detroit. I mean, Detroit is just going to be on 11 waiting for Ben Johnson and the Bears to come to town, especially after Detroit lost their opener. And the supposed lull in the schedule is home against the Cowboys, which they didn't look as bad as I thought they would in week one. And, I mean, how much pressure could there be on Ben Johnson than Matt Eberflus coming to town as defensive coordinator? You cannot lose that head-to-head. And then at the Raiders, who, you know, they might turn out to not be a joke. They've got a Hall of Fame coach. They've got a Pro Bowl quarterback. I don't think that's going to be a cakewalk. I mean, that's your first four games. Then you get some time to regroup, and it's at Washington on Monday night. I mean, it just keeps coming. Like, it is not going to get any easier for them.
Jason, as always, we appreciate you. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, guys, and I'm going to continue to try to stay off the list.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. There's a lot of people on it.
Yeah, Lawrence's list is growing. I mean, it's been a big day for you. Your list is growing, and also the population of Worrytown, it has exploded.
It's boomed. It's booming right now. We got to take a break. And when we come back, one of the guys on the Bears defense will explain some of the things that went on why they collapsed yesterday. That's next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
670 The Score is home to your game day pregame coverage. Join us before each game for the latest inside scoop on your home team before they take on their next opponent. Football Fridays is brought to you in part by your local Ford dealers. Visit a store today.
And we are about to play our first quote-unquote cartoon of 2025.
Illegal formation, number 24 of the kicking team for leaving early. The five-yard penalty will be enforced from the end of the return. First down, Chicago.
Against Nick McLeod. And so we will tack on at the end of that return by DuVernay. And he left too soon.
And that killed the cartoon.
I was going to say, I think we're making America wait for a Ferris Bueller, Ben Johnson cartoon. Ah, here it is. Rest easy. That is obviously Ben Johnson who's dancing.
Obviously, it was Ben Johnson.
Yeah, the button-up leopard print. It's not Matthew Broderick. That was Ben. 4th and 3.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like Joe was kind of poking at Troy a little bit with that.
And poking at anybody who doesn't like the cartoons.
But I actually thought that was one of the best that they've ever done.
It was, you know, Ferris Bueller dancing at the parade.
It was not Ferris Bueller.
Oh, it was Ben Johnson.
It's Ben Johnson.
I get it.
Get it?
Now I get it.
There were three people at the Cubs game this past weekend who dressed up as the crew going to the Cubs game. Sloan and Ferris and what's his name?
They were hanging. Cameron. They were hanging out. Ferris Bueller and the actor who plays Cameron, who was in Succession. Alan, not Alan Thicke.
Ruck.
Alan Ruck. Lawrence.
Hey, guess what? I just won categories this week.
So they were at the U.S. Open together. They're at the U.S. Open together.
I have a joke I want to say so badly.
You do?
I'll just say this. It's okay. A good thing there's a lot of public transportation in New York.
Okay. I don't get it.
I'll tell you during the break.
All right, cool. I'll be ready. Grady Jarrett says he could feel it coming as the Bears were bad.
In the air of night?
He could feel it. He could feel the momentum twisting. Because Lord knows I could watching that game. Here's Grady Jarrett.
Can you explain the difference between the first three quarters and then the fourth quarter?
It's hard to say right now without watching the tape. You know what I'm saying? I think some mistakes and penalties kept drives alive when we kind of executed. You know, some things is a little questionable, but, you know, however it goes, we just got to play, you know, a cleaner game. You know, can't give them opportunities. And it definitely was a point of emphasis for us going into the game, knowing that we had to play a clean game. And unfortunately, as the game went on, it got a little messy, a little penalty yardage. Kept them alive and gave them some confidence because we were shutting it down. But we just gotta keep pressure on them. When you're going against a good team, you can't give them new life.
What did you guys learn from this?
Like I kind of said before, you know, gotta play cleaner and gotta you know, keep the pressure on while we up. You know, and can't get comfortable and just gotta keep the intensity up and that runs hand in hand with you know, penalty free football and penalty football, when, you know, some technique maybe get sloppy here and there, or just, you know, some hits, or just, you know, you just don't want to put it in nobody else's hands but yourself.
I love that. Love hearing that, dude. I just, that completely to me is what it felt like. As that thing got messier and messier and the Bears were the ones making the mistakes, I was like, this does not feel good. This feels like what happens when you lose control of a football game. And I think momentum and confidence matters in a physical and violent sport like football, where the team with that better edge, that better confident edge, seems to be able to win battle after battle in important moments.
Yep. Yep. It is important that you kind of stay on everything. And hopefully we'll see. The thing that's most important that people have to realize, as much as this was frustrating, it's one game. And really, it's kind of one half of one game. Let's see what happens in Detroit next week. That game is taking on a level of importance that I was not expecting it to take on in week two of the season.
You saved it there for a minute. For a little while, you didn't really sound like the mayor of Worrytown.
But here we are. I got the condo impatience, though.
Yeah, you do have a condo. You sounded like a guy just, you know, having a little day trip. A little day trip to patience.
Yep, go over there.
Then you started worrying about week two, though. So
that's, well, we'll turn the page tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Will we,
already?
Though?
Already?
Will we, though?
I don't know.
We'll
feels
find
soon.
Out. When we come back, I have a compliment for some people that we usually don't give compliments to. It has to do with the Bears game last night. That's next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.